Drop everything. Chemist Warehouse's half-price vitamin and cosmetic sale is on now. The Big
Breakfast. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey there, welcome to the catch-up. Make sure you subscribe. Well worth listening today. Alan Alfie Langer joining us.
Oh, I love Alfie. I almost asked him if Cam Smith wouldn't come back for a campaign to get Cam back for one State of Origin, whether Alfie would strap on a boot.
Mm. He probably would.
He would,
I wouldn't put it past him. As interesting as that was, we missed an opportunity. Now, this is something you could probably tell us as the style queen of our studio. That night that he danced on
hard.
The table at the Normanby and he stripped down to his underpants, if you were going to do that, would you wear a statement colour, black or red or
blue? Yes, of course, or yellow.
Or would you wear nudie ones like he did?
No, Alf. That actually says to me as a bloke that he cares about his visible panty line.
But he had athletic type jocks on.
Yeah, but they were nude colour. So was he wearing white pants on top?
He would have been running the water that day before he went to the Normanby, got on it, and then got on the table.
Therefore, in case anyone were to under his shorts, he's got nude pants on.
What you reckon got him back for the State of Origin?
What, nude pants?
Mate, we got nude pants for you. You'll be right.
You'll be in.
You're not going to see your jocks.
Don't
worry,
mate. There's another thing I never asked him today. He's scared of the dark.
Oh, is he really?
We'll always sleep with his eyes open. You know what I mean? He was captain.
His eyes open.
Isn't it easier to leave a light on?
Sorry. The light's on. Did you know?
He's a vampire.
Because he was captain of the Origin, when he was captain of the Origin in the late 90s, he was allowed to have a room on his own, whereas everyone roomed with one other person.
Because he was scared.
Yes, he took that. Gordy Tallis used to take his room and room on his own, and he'd always room with Kevin Walters.
Is that
the
right?
The two Ipswich little kiddies playing together.
Oh, he and Kevin.
Alfie was a nudie too.
Mm.
What do you mean? What do you wear to bed?
Now,
how
nothing.
Do you know that?
As a person, because
that's
these are the questions
weird.
We ask each other, because I was a person that travelled the world and roomed with other adult men, which is a weird thing, isn't it?
It is weird.
Two beds, and you often got to toss who takes the double bed, there's often double single. Alfie was one of those nude guys. I was always uncomfortable with nude guys.
Yeah, fair enough, too. Mm. That's a bit weird.
What about showering? If you're in the showers,
dry yourself, get sorted, and then come out and go straight to your suitcase and get changed. But some people just love.
Was there any wandering eyes in the Wallabies dressing rooms?
Do you know what a one-eyed snorer is?
I can guess. Is it a euphemism?
No, I don't think I want to know.
We were single men, okay.
It sounds like again one of those things that sounds like a sexual move, but it isn't.
The old one-eyed snorer. Right. Well, sometimes one of the guys would bring a girl home.
Yep.
And the other guy would be,
girl
would always go, what, there's another man in the room? Don't worry, he's asleep, which was the cue for.
Oh, God, that's creepy.
That is so super creepy. I'm really upset that we uncovered that today.
Yeah. And how's Union only having two blokes in the room? The gentleman's game indeed.
One of them pretending to be asleep.
Nick Spogan news on the show today as well, because I feel like we should move on from this now.
Yeah, sorry.
It's the tale of the two Jameses at the Broncos, one on the outer, one very much on the inner circle.
Yeah, also, Nick opened his first can of worms and lost dismally.
Did I lose that? I don't know. Everyone got excited. That's a win.
I don't think can of worms should have a scoreboard attached because it discourages people from bringing things up.
I'm going to crack another one tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to beat his own record. Yes.
We'll squish you again.
Enjoy the catch up.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Well, you heard what Wayne Bennett had to say about that day in 2001. And we all remember in 2000, the New South Wales team were a bunch of arrogant knobs and throwing hand grenades and thrashies. And Wayne came back into coach, of course, in 2001. And game three, it was 1-1, and that's when he brought Alf back in. It was such a beautiful story.
It was glorious.
Well, let's hear both sides of the story. The man who made himself available after two years out of the NRL, came back to Origin to win that third game and score a try and everything else. Alan Langer, good morning, mate.
Oh, very good morning, and I can remember the year very well.
Can you tell us, Wayne said that you said it was the greatest day of your life the next morning when he dropped you at the airport after that third Origin.
Oh, it definitely was, mate. And did he say he called me or did I call him?
No, he said, now what did he say?
Yeah, no, he called me.
And his immediate reply to me was, he said, what's taking you so long to ask me?
Oh.
And that is correct. But but in saying that, to come back was probably, you know, look back through my career, it was the best week of my life to get a second chance to play pretty special.
Alfie, after you finished, almost immediately you became part of that the whole camp every year at Origin. You know it better than anyone, I'm going to claim. Cameron Smith, what are your thoughts?
Well, Cameron Smith, the player he is, and I've got to put him in Jonathan T. I'm a big Wally Lewis fan. I think he's number one.
Yeah.
But to have Cameron Smith back in the Queensland side would be amazing because I know what he brings to a team on and off the field, and it'd be very special to have.
Can I read you out? He's kicking at 80% this year. He's the five try assists, which is in the top 15 in NRL. His tackle success rate is 96%. He's in the top five tacklers. This bloke is still on top of his game. 52 metres per game from hooker. He's still killing them on a weekly basis. He was a maestro on the weekend. He's ready to go, isn't he, Alf?
Oh, definitely. And he can handle his drink as well, so he's not a bad guy after all.
It's always so. It's amazing how, in an Origin camp, if people don't know, Alan Langer can find somebody's birthday every night of the week, can't you, Alf?
Well, it is a good time of the year, as I say, so we've got to celebrate every time Origin comes around.
Alfie, have you spoken to him? Because you or Wayne had probably been the only two people that could really, you know, explain to him how desperate we are.
As I said, I know he'll make the right decision at the end of the day.
Kevy, we've spoken to Kevin Walters. We've got to do that again this week just to present all this evidence to him. But he said, no, Cam's not available. That's how Kevy plays it around Origin time and then springs a surprise. You've seen that stuff before, haven't you?
I have, and I'm sure he's got Cameron Smith's number on speed dial at the moment as we speak.
Imagine Kevy stalking Cam. Come on, mate.
Come on.
Come on. Another phone call. Is that Kevy again, Barb says? Come on.
Yeah. Well, he has been camping out of the backpackers in Melbourne there for a couple of days, so I'm not sure what's happening.
Alfie, yes. Just need to address another rumour. No one's come out directly and said it, but are you the man who's responsible for the Broncos' stuttering attempts at attack this year? Are you not talking enough? Is it your fault?
I tell you the truth, I think the Broncos are going okay. You know, I think the media are really trying to write them off, but I'm in training every day. I've been involved with their team. They're a great group of young guys, and I think give them a bit of time, mate. I think they're going to come good.
I like that from you. They're not far off.
They aren't, mate. And we've only lost a few games right on the bell, so you turn a couple of them games around, anything can happen. And it's going to be a big test on Friday night. We play the Roosters, so they've been going great guns. So, and they rolled us pretty heavily down in Sydney a few weeks ago. So hopefully there's a lot better effort by the team come Friday night.
Keep the faith, Alan Langer. Thank you for joining us this morning. And thanks for signing Marto's campaign.
Not a problem, guys. Go to Bronx.
Sorry, the Norman Beast closed for the time being, Al.
Oh, no. Can't wait for it read it again because the table's still there.
See you, mate.
See you, guys. Triple M's
Big Breakfast. A new study came out in the paper today. Bloody big fan of studies. I love all the institutes that are getting around this one. The Australian Institute of Family Studies.
Oh.
Why not? They've showed that the proportion of people aged 20 to 24 living with their parents has increased from 36% in 1981 to 43% in 2016.
That's nearly half of them.
Yeah, yeah. That's 20 to 24, though. I can almost accept that. I won't, but I almost can. The number of 25 to 29-year-olds has gone from 10% to 17%.
Hold on.
I think...
29-year-old living at home.
Yep, yep.
Oh,
disgusting.
My Lord.
Won't have it. I will not have it. I think anybody over the age of 20 should be out. Get out of home.
I'm kind of with you. I got kicked out of home at 17, not because I was bad or anything, but my mum was a single mum, and I was the youngest, and she by 17 I'd finished school and I'd got a job, and she was just like, love, I've had enough. Can you just go be somewhere else and I'll find out who I am again?
I removed myself when I was 19. I went and worked in the US for a bit and I travelled the US for 3 months. And then when I got back to Australia, I'm in my parents' house one day and I put my bag down. I was working at a pub. I'd worked all day. Come inside, put my bag down, go to go somewhere. And mum says, can you move your bag, please? And I said, no, I've had enough. Like, I just travelled by myself for 3 months. I don't need anybody telling me what to do in this house.
And
I moved
left.
Out. Moved out that weekend. Mum didn't speak to me for 2 months.
You're being very quiet about this, Greg Martin.
Well, you know, I moved out of home when I was 18. I was living at Aspley and I moved into Spring Hill simply so I could have fun.
Yeah, that was you. But what about your children? I'm sorry, hang on. Right. Who's got a 21st this weekend?
Hillary's 21st this weekend.
I love
She's
Hilly.
Still at home, and Harry's 19 going on 20. He's still at home, and it looks like it'll stay that way. They both went away for a year. And it was so much fun, and we toyed with moving, and we didn't get out of the house quick enough, and they came back. But it's been so nice. It's been so nice. Of course, we want them there, and they
want
to be there.
Home.
It's nice at the moment. It might change, but at the moment, it's really nice. Why would they move?
I just think from over the age of 20, just get out.
No.
Leave your parents alone. They've put in enough effort.
All right, there's going to be, I bet you say, do you see your mother as much as you'd like to see your mother?
No.
Me neither. Do you?
No, she lives
None
in
None of
Sydney.
Us do. It'd be so nice to get as much out of
You're
it as possible.
You're trying to move back home now.
Shaul, shut the door.
This is what I want to do. That'd I'm doing it for so the first nice time. I'm cracking there. It.
The Big Breakfast's Can of Worms.
I'm opening a can of worms. I just think it's unacceptable for anyone over the age of 20 to live at home. Are you someone that lives at home, or are you a parent of one of these, what I would describe as, absolute losers that are still under the roof?
Oh, hold on.
Late 20s, early 30s. Disgusting. Have a bit of self-respect.
Oh, that's how you crack a can.
Well, I've got a son who's getting works harder than nearly everyone else in Brisbane, being an apprentice carpenter, but gets paid $13 an hour. What's he supposed
to
do?
Okay, but he's a second-year apprentice?
Second-year apprentice.
So he's got one more year?
Two more years.
4-year apprenticeship. 21. Okay, Tony of Inogra, what do you reckon? You shouldn't live at home after 20.
No, not at all. Well, yes, I think they should.
Hold on.
Hold on. What? Tony, we start again.
Hold on, flip-flop and Tony's on the line.
No, we bought a boat. So I don't care where they live, because on the weekends we go out in our boat. And it's like a floating caravan, and it's just awesome fun. We're having more fun than our kids have ever had.
So you've had to take the high seas to
get
escape.
Away from them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Escape is it. And the boat can only take two of us.
Oh, okay, can I just check? How many kids have you got, Tony?
Three kids.
And how old are they?
24, 21, and 19.
Fair enough.
So basically, you are running away on weekends and the kids have the house.
That's right, yep. And all they've got to do is mow the lawn and keep it tidy, and guess what?
Can't do it. There are 23 of them. See, you should force them out.
That's the problem.
No.
What are they studying? You know, the ones I don't like, Tony, are the kids that aren't studying, or working part time and just lying around your house all day. I love some workers. I'm happy with that.
I've got one of them. Yeah, he graduated last year, but it's taken him 9 months to not find a job. Mm. So that's a bit of an issue.
Mm. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Tone.
That boat sounds good, mate.
Doesn't it? Joanne of Morayfield, what do you reckon? You shouldn't live at home after 20, says Nick Cody. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree.
Why, Joanne? Who do you have at your place?
I love sort of Marto's principle. I've got a 30-year-old living at home. He's
Insane.
Sort of come and gone a few times.
Oh, that's all right.
Again for a little while, and
I get
got
that.
A daughter at home with her husband and a brand new grandson that we can enjoy every day.
Oh, nice.
The husband.
No, the grandson.
No, the grandson. I get that. He's cute. I mean, the husband. Doesn't the husband find it weird? I remember my wife
and I. No, and he's a great cook. So they live in a granny flat out the back. So
come
and go. But he's a really good cook. So I love coming home from work when he's actually, you know, cooked a nice chicken and leek pie.
They're putting in, Joanne, aren't they? They're actually helping her. The most important job you've ever had in your life, would it be a mum?
Oh, look, I would have to say my parents did the opposite on me. They left home when I was 15, so I didn't have a choice. I was sort of thrown out there and had to survive the world and all those sorts of things, so I'm never in a hurry.
You've gone the opposite.
Wow.
If you've got love, hang on to it.
Oh, and Andrew of Springfield Lakes on that note.
Hello, Mardo's turned into a bloody Hallmark card.
I know.
Rider.
Andrew, what do you reckon? You shouldn't live at home after 20. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I've got to go. I've got three kids. I've got a 23, a friend to be 21, and I've got a 13. And on my 13, he was 13 in January. I wrote on his birthday card 5 years ago, mate. He's on a countdown. He knows he's got to leave. They've all welcomed back. So my 23 is currently back with me again after you know, whatever happened in his world. And he brought his two buddy border collies back with him. And
oh, that's the worst.
They're not helping around the house.
No, they're not helping around the house. They're tearing the yard up. But anyway, so they're all walking back, but they need to go out and they need to figure out who they are without me. And
I agree with
yeah.
that.
I'm proud of all of them. I'm proud of all of them, and like I said, they're welcome back. But no, they've got to get out. They've got to go. They've got to figure out where they are in the world, and they can't do that while we're hanging in the middle.
Agreed.
But yeah. they only need to leave for a year and then come back. They're better people, I'm telling you right now.
No, you've lost your first can of worms, Nick Cody. 60% of people saying, no, of course you can stay home after you turn 20.
Oh, cool. I lost to a bunch of losers. I don't care.
Oh, there it is. Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Last night on Nine News, there was a big story about drones and there's a lot of new fines coming in.
CASA fined 63 dodgy drone operators in 2018, another 22 so far this year, ranging from $1,000 to more than $10,000 each.
Because they're starting to get this new tracking device so that they can see drones in the air. Now, for me personally, the only two contacts with drones that I have are wanting to buy one from my kid a couple of years ago, spending a couple of $100, him using it once and running into a tree, and that was the end of it.
Right.
And the second one was at my wedding, where the photographer used a drone to take a group shot. Right. Oh.
But how did that look?
It looked amazing. Mm. Unbelievable. But it would seem that there are a lot of drones throughout Australia.
Drones are fast filling our skies.
Several hundred thousand drones across the country.
And that's the problem.
See, this is my
There's
question.
Too many of your sons running drones and smashing into things, and that's why they won't let them have it. You know, you're not allowed to have it at sports events because they still can't prove that they won't hit a human.
Oh.
And they're the best photos, as you said, your photo at your wedding.
Yeah,
they're
my
the
wedding
best camera stuff, but you've got to keep it outside of stadiums or have taken your shots before the game starts.
Okay, but here is my question. Who are actually using drones? Like, is it amateur photographers who want a great shot?
A fair few of them are.
Let's take out the perverts that might be doing something terrible around high-rises on the Gold Coast.
All right, well, we're down to about four drone operators then, I reckon.
But there must be other drone users. I am very curious. They are the way of the future. I mean, for goodness sake, in 10 years, they're talking about us being able to have transport drones.
They're like called planes. We got
them. No, no,
oh. no. I got a mate of mine uses
helicopter.
True.
I got a mate of mine uses his to go out if he's fishing. He'll go out and it'll do the scanning trying to find schools of fish because normally you'll just stand on the boat and look for the water being chopped up somewhere. If you're in a drone, you can see everything. You've seen helicopter shots,
Again,
same thing.
Even the start of that sounds sus. I use my drones to find schools. Let me finish.
fish.
Look, and then he's also got one that takes the bait. You know, it's connected to your line and your rod.
What? Takes You're making the bait. That up.
No, you watch someone will ring us and releases it
no,
into the water.
Rubbish. A drone that can
great.
Take burley and just drop it.
Not burley, the actual bait with your hooks, yeah, your treble hook. Someone will ring us.
Okay, 133353. What are you using drones for? In Baltimore in the USA, they did their first drone delivery of a kidney. To a Baltimore hospital.
That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I saw
and
that.
It took just 10 minutes where it would have by an ambulance taken over 2 hours. The drone had 8 different motors in case anything failed and a parachute mechanism to deliver the kidney if the engines did fail gently.
Really?
But it got there and it was transported successfully
drones,
into someone else.
If used for good, not evil.
Well, here's the thing.
Sky kidney.
I want to know.
It's not what for perving.
You use Go your back. Drone for Joe of Forest Lake.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, good.
We use them in the fire service.
You use them in the where?
The fire service. Like
the fire service.
And emergency services. So there's a drone that we use at structural fires and also went out recently to help SES with a search for a missing person.
Really?
Oh, what a great idea.
So we get to see an aerial view of like a house on fire to see if there's issues with roof collapse and so forth. So yeah, we've got one.
Actually, bushfires as well, I've heard you can use them to get where the fire actually is and which way it's going and stuff. I've seen you do that.
Yeah, that's another use for them. So yeah, we frequently have one that gets used in Brisbane. So
what about for the missing persons? Does it have like the heat seeker camera like Predator's eyes in the movie?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Just straight up looking for them. Fair enough.
Thanks, Joe. And Dave of Yarra Bilba, what do you use a drone for?
For fishing.
Okay. Lardo was saying this.
Dave, confirm. Robin was scoffing at me saying that they're useful. You tell us how you use it.
Mate, you hook your line up to the drone. You fly it out a few hundred metres. You drop your bait out. And it gets you that extra distance, gets you some better fish.
So if you're fishing from the beach, because often to get to the fish, you need a boat. If you're fishing from the beach with your toes in the sand, you can actually get it far enough out to catch the big fish. Correct,
yeah,
Dave?
Yeah, 200 or 300 metres out.
Does it work all right, Dave? Because Kath saw the price of them and just went, you're not getting one of those, mate.
It works all right. You just got to be careful because otherwise you'll lose it like I did.
Okay, hang on. So do you have to keep it? You'd have to keep it low to the water. Is that what you mean?
No, you can fly it about 30 metres up.
And how did you lose it?
too close to the water.
Yeah, big, strong winds. Mm. Anyway, low batteries, drop into the water.
Drinking too much?
Yeah.
He was on low batteries after about 10 cans.
Thanks, Dave. It's Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Mother's Day on the weekend, we had a strange one. Normally, you know how we'll normally go a bigger group, like, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of mums, etc. It just became Kath and I, my wife, yep. Kath and I, and the two kids, four of us.
Lovely.
Rarely do this. We went out to lunch. It was wonderful. And then at the end of lunch, we, you know, had what would be a long lunch. We normally, let's have something to eat and let's go. sat around and we had a chance to have a real talk about things. And Kath started... Well, we asked the kids, was there anything you needed to know about their birth, just for their, because we never talk. You know, Hilly's took a while. Harry was out. You know, he's always been in a hurry to get everywhere, my young bloke, and my 19-year-old. So Kath told him a couple more stories, okay?
Because he said,
she told him the story, and I've told you about it, how she sent him into the men's toilets at Chermside Shopping Centre, Westfield at Chermside, ceramic toilet seat. Whack, it came down on his pecker when he was about four. Yeah.
And
he always...
Traumatised for a really long time.
He never put this toilet seat up. He never weed with the toilet seat up for years and years.
The cheap circumcision, though.
Yeah. So Harry said, Mum, as if you think I don't remember that, I was there and it was central to my upbringing. And then she said, well, do you remember this one? And when he was about 2.5, 3, okay, so we're still living at the same house where we are now, he went missing. All right, and I just arrived home. I must have come home. I was building in those days. She just arrived home. And she said she was in tears and just running around like a hare with a chook. She said, I can't find Harry. And I said, what? Where was he? Well, we fed him. It's been a couple of hours. It's been an hour. I don't know. And she'd been, I said, have you rung anyone? She said, no, I just figured, I don't know where he is. So it might have only been an hour. So she's telling him this. And then... because we had to go out, and I said, right, I'll head this way, you head that way. He might have wandered. All our gates and fences weren't completely sorted out. All right. She went one way, and both of us had the same thing. So I've gone one way, he's gone the other, going, Harry, we're looking under bushes, we're looking everywhere. Two people, for me and this other and for Kath, both asked, that's the same question, okay, dog or person? That's when we knew Harry had a... Because Harry is such a dog name. Yeah. Both people ask. So then we were about to go back to the house. This is before mobile phones. This is how long this is, 18 years ago, 16 years ago. We went back to the house to call the police, had one last look in his bedroom. He was asleep under his bed.
Under his bed.
Harry had never heard that story. He went, because he can fall asleep, bang, anywhere at all in the world. So that was his only missing person. So Kath was telling all these stories. It was so nice to hear. Yeah, I know some people have already been told by their mother for the first time when they're 19 that they're adopted, but Harry kept hearing all these stories from his mother.
We did exactly the same thing on Mother's Day. Talking old stories. In which I told my middle son that he was a water birth and came out with the membrane still
intact. He never knew this.
He didn't know. Membrane still intact.
Baby
which
dumpling.
Which is one in
was he
a
in
gazillion.
It? Was he in the sack?
Yeah, in the
baby
sack,
dumpling.
In the water.
Yeah.
So he was literally just swimming around in the water and didn't breathe until we lifted him out.
But how did the bubble get broken?
Well, we just broke it and then he was cruising around in the put water and then we lifted him out and he took his first breath.
What did he say to that?
Well, he was like, that's gross.
That is foul.
Anyway, want to know things that Mum told you for the very first time. Mum or Dad, as an adult, look back on your childhood. You don't remember. What were they? Taylor of Arana Hills, what you got? What'd your Mum or Dad tell you?
Mum told me when I was 19 that she's not just married once before, she's been married three times.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. So
I don't even know if I've got half brothers or anything else like that either, because she took it to the grave, unfortunately.
Okay, so
she died 4 years ago.
What context was it that she told you?
around the coffee table.
Yeah.
While she's having her little coffee and cigarette and everything, and then decided to say, oh, by the way, guess what? I've been married once before, and this person as well. And I went, Mum, what are you doing?
Too much.
I didn't know what to think, so I was a bit shocked, actually, to be honest.
Oh.
And then, that was a few years ago, so yeah. But unfortunately, as I said, she died 4 years ago. She's taken it to the grave, so I'll never know who they were. I've tried to look through previous papers and everything, and there's been nothing sort of, yeah.
Well, that's mystifying, Taylor. Good luck with that. Maybe this little segment here may help you.
Can help.
Yeah. Thanks, Taylor. And Jenny of Kippering, what was the story? What were you told by Mum or Dad for the first time?
That 53 years, my father was my biological father.
Oh, there we go. How did that come out, Jenny?
We're looking at photos, family photos, my siblings and I, and we went, geez, we look different. So three of us decided to do a DNA test.
Oh, geez.
It came back same mothers, all three different fathers.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you look into finding the biological dads?
Well, one of my siblings has found out who her father is. He's since passed. But she's reconnected with her other siblings from her real father. And I'm going through the process now of finding out my origins. And then I've got two names that I can go off, depending on my origin, of who my father is. And I know where one of them is, if it's a certain origin.
Oh,
he lives in Australia. Yeah. And if it goes the other way with the origin of my father, well, he either is in Australia or offshore somewhere else, but both still alive. And they are in their 80s.
And do you want to find them, Jenny?
Of course I do.
Yeah, you are owed a fair few Christmas presents.
Mm, someone's going to get a surprise on Father's Day.
Easter egg.
Yeah, you bet.
Oh, go and find them.
Thank you, Jenny. You know, I've got a girlfriend who was adopted, her and her twin, and she got a phone call when she was 18 from a woman claiming that she was her sister. Turns out that there were 8 of them. The mother kept 1 and adopted out 7.
Oh.
So overnight, she found out that she was 1 of 8 kids.
Oh, let's go back. She chose 1 out of 8.
Yeah, 1 out of 8 and adopted.
Was she the one that the mum kept?
No. Oh. Her and her twin were adopted out, and they were all girls.
Oh, good Lord.
Who was
what
the golden child?
Yeah. Scott from Grange.
G'day.
Yeah,
nothing as dramatic as that.
Oh, sorry. It's still your life.
Yeah.
My daughter just turned 14 on Mother's Day, and when she's misbehaving, I think she probably was 5 or something like that when we first mentioned it, but we went to the birthing centre to have her, and my wife was on all fours, and the midwife and I were sort of next to her, and my wife was partway through, and then all of a sudden gave one big push, and the midwife and I were sort of chatting and distracted, and my daughter hit the floor. No one caught her.
Okay. You were never a wicket keeper when you played cricket?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so whenever she's misbehaving, it's saying, you know.
With the cord attached, it looks like walking the dog on a yo-yo.
Stop it. Scott, that's magnificent.
There would be so many kids like that. There would be.
$200 thanks to Brewster Brothers. Oh. A seriously good story needs a seriously good Brewster Brothers iced coffee. Good on you, Scott. It's the Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Now, Game of Thrones, obviously, final episode next week. It is massive. Unfortunately, none of us in this studio have seen one episode.
It's going to be like one of those, you know, where there's the last man standing, but all of a sudden there'll be one punch thrown by each last contest. Everyone will die.
I thought you were suggesting it was going to end on a coward punch. What a way for Game of Thrones then.
Oh,
he got glassed. Yeah. Did you see that dragon got glassed? There's a little town in Western Victoria where a man there he's making bank off the back of Game of Thrones. This bloke's a fiddle maker, and he makes the Harding of Fiddle, which is used in the Game of Thrones. In the theme.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay, what is it? What?
So it's a Harding of Fiddle.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Right. Sounds, okay. Sounds never good. Heard of a Harding of Fiddle.
So that's not a violin. A fiddle's different to a violin.
Yeah. Oh. I believe so. I don't know.
Apparently.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I didn't even get past the recorder.
Triple
so
music
you can't ask me when it comes to instruments.
Hold on. Is he supplying that for Game of Thrones or just that instrument's become popular?
Yeah, he makes it. He's got a side business. They cost between $1,800 and $2,500 each.
Whoa.
And just because of that song, people are like, I want to play, which sounds ridiculous. But
when I was in year seven, we had a choice. We had to play a musical instrument in year seven and year eight.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to play saxophone or trumpet or drums or guitar or anything. There was only one instrument I wanted to play.
Hold on. It would have been hitting sticks, no?
No.
But hitting something. Hitting what is it?
No, because of the movie Braveheart.
Oh. Bagpipes.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank God you just can't pick up a set of bagpipes and play
them. Have you ever seen a chick going, you know, our chicks love blokes with guitars. That's an old trick. But how'd you go?
Not great, because the bagpipes require circular breathing, much like the didgeridoo.
Yeah.
So you put in all this effort to fill up a bag, then it goes, and then you're like, I'm out of breath. I'm in deep trouble here. You're right, though, about chicks. They are not
into bagpipes.
No, bagpipes.
Chicks are never like, you know what music I love? Irish cop funeral. New York Irish cop funeral music. Can you blast one of those tracks out for us?
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Just telling Nick a story about my father-in-law who, was a great old man. He was a doctor throughout his life and then ended up the last few years in an old person's home, okay? It was sad, etc. I took his dog. I don't know if I've ever told you this one. I got his dog because he was had Alzheimer's. He used to feed that border collie. I talked about this.
Oh, yes, the really fat one.
And then we had doggy style Biggest Loser and the dog lost. I was talking about that.
But it was like 42 kilos by the time you got it.
And border collies are supposed to be 18 and I had to get it. I got it back down to 22 kilos. Anyway, I became known. I was one of his favourite son-in-laws. You know, he had... How many did he have? Seven son-in-laws, yeah.
Yeah, so seven girls.
I was one of the favourites, but then by the end...
Oh, no.
I became that bloke who stole my dog. Like, I took the dog because it became too fat and he went to the nursing home. So I was talking about crazy old people, you know, wonderful, loved old people who go a little bit crazy, and a mate told me about he knew a guy who was in the nursing home with his mother, okay, and the guy was forever ringing taxis from the nursing home and they went trying to escape, but he'd always ring them to the airport because he was an old pilot and he'd get up each morning and go, geez, I've got to get to work. Oh, pilot, I love... Can we just run this? 1-3-3-5-3, 1-3-3-5-3. Old people who you loved who went a bit crazy at the end.
And did lovely, funny things.
Imagine that. Taxi for captain. Well, I won't say his last name.
What's he getting in? That 787 Max? Oh, no.
Dave from Wavell Heights, have you got one of these?
Mum. She had Alzheimer's and dementia. And in the last few months of her life, she didn't even know who I was. It really, really hurt.
My grandma had Alzheimer's as well, but my mum would go in to visit her, and then my grandma would tell my mum, my mum's name is Karen. She'd always say, you know who hasn't visited me? Karen. It's a bit rude. And it always used to make my mum feel bad.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
You don't want to say, man, you got it all wrong.
Jeff Belbowry, tell us what happened with the oldie in your life.
Well, my lovely grandma died at 98 and they put all the oldies in the home in front of this massive big screen TV and they're watching the Australian Open.
Oh.
And she's talking about my uncle and she's leaned over and she said, you know, Harry's going to be really sore tomorrow after playing all that tennis.
Oh, God. She thought she was watching a real match with the relic.
Out the window.
Oh, bless them. Rebecca of Toowong, what happened with the oldie in your life?
Hi, guys. Look, my nana a few years ago, she was like in her 90s, late 90s, was put in a nursing home in Tamworth. Yeah. And we at the time lived at Paterson, so it's like 3 hours, at least 4 hour drive. She used to catch a taxi.
Oh.
The way down. It was like.
Please tell me she had a cab charge. Like, Rebecca, tell me.
No, I was like 10 at the time and I looked out the window. We lived on property. I said, there's a taxi. And I said to my dad, I said, what? Yeah, it's Nan.
Oh, and no.
She did that twice. It was hilarious.
Imagine the convo the cab driver had to put up with. Oh, you've told that story already.
But you know what it does do? Like, I know we're laughing and stuff, and you would think that there is a sad side to this, but it actually means that you have to be a little more respectful of the oldies when they're doing things that you don't necessarily
let them go. Oh, yeah. I'm all for it. Get amongst it. Have a crack. Catch a 6 hour cab. Yeah. Who cares?
Wet your pants.
The Big Breakfast, Triple M.
I want to talk about Lego Masters because really tonight is the grand finale.
Tonight.
And Yes.
Oh. So quick. And yeah, it's not like maths.
No.
I've only
had 3 weeks to poke the bear because you were just refusing to.
If they could make those plastic figurines have sex with each other, this show could go for four to 6 months. They'd love it, Channel 9.
But I figured that, you know, the Brick Man? So there's Hamish Blake, who's the host, and then the Brick Man.
I've come to know who he is. Yeah.
Good, because I thought I might give you some background on the Brick Man. So when you watch the grand finale tonight, you'll know just why he is an authority on
Lego. You know my beef. Has he ever built a proper house?
Out of Lego?
No, that's not a proper house. That's a plastic house that can be demolished by someone kicking it. A proper house.
No.
No.
He doesn't need to. He just has little bricks and he puts them together. So here's the story of Ryan McNaught, a.k.a. the Brick Man. Okay. He is one of only 14 certified Lego professionals in the world. Now, he didn't start off just as a kid with Lego and then got better and better and better and better and then became a Lego professional. Okay. Oh, no.
Oh, I want to know.
Thought he went to uni for it.
He had a real job. He played with Lego as a kid, but then he got a real job and he used to be a chief information officer for a pretty big media company.
You know what I'm saying.
He started off doing computer science and moved up the ranks of the corporate ladder, and then he had children. He ended up with 11-year-old boys and thought, how can I keep them entertained, get their brains going and not put them on screen. So he got out all his old Lego. Yeah. He was really good at it. The kids weren't that interested. He continued to be. He got his first commission.
Commissioned piece?
Yeah, to do a big Lego piece. So you know how sometimes when you go to big corporate launches, he does big pieces. So he's done a big Honda for a new car launch, a literal life-size Honda in Lego.
Two-scale Honda. Yeah.
So he's doing out of business those really other clever people who sculpt things out of ice. Like, aren't they clever?
Yeah, well, you know, the Lego thing can continue, whereas the ice will melt.
Was he banished from the house? Did he have to go down to the shed and his wife left him?
Yeah, he does have
that's grim.
And he talks about his Lego collection and how it's all assembled in pieces and parts and colours, and he has a workshop. Guess how many pieces of Lego this man has?
Oh, God, hold on. Where are we starting above a million?
Yes, we are.
Eight million. 8 million's me.
2 million.
5.
6 million.
That's close.
6 million pieces.
I think you get it
Lego.
On Prices Right rules.
Come on down to play Brendo. Okay.
Anyway, for all of you who love Lego Masters, tonight is the last night.
No more Brick Man after this.
You'll
no
notice he had children before he told his wife that he was interested in Lego, eh?
I can't believe he's one of the... We had a neighbour growing up that he showed me in the back room once, the most insane train set I've ever seen.
Yes!
And we're both 12, and I'm like, dude, how come you never told me we could be playing with this train set the whole time? He goes, we can't. It's Dad's.
I've never
had less respect for an adult.
God.
It's the Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M. Don't forget the hunt for 2019's local sports star is on. So if you know a seriously skilled youngster, nominate them. They could win huge cash prizes. All thanks to Quest Community News. Nominate now at localsportstars.com.au. Catch you tomorrow. Don't waste your life.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.